Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, on Friday of this week, just 2 days ago, I set out in the morning to try to get some things done. You know, Friday is my off day, typically, and I'm usually able to run some errands as necessary. The day began with a meeting at Will's school with his guidance counselor to discuss high school graduation. I cannot believe that we're there already, right? Then, waited in traffic on the way off island to a doctor's appointment in West Ashley, where I waited some more in the waiting room for the doctor. And once back in the examination room, waited a little more, right? After the visit, ventured back out into and once again waited in the traffic of a Charleston midday Friday. And then I made one of those decisions that no one wants to make. By choice. I chose to go to Costco on a Friday afternoon. That's always a mistake, right? And then after the time spent in the ultra-consumer buying frenzy, yeah, I made it back out to wait in the late afternoon Charleston traffic of Savannah Highway to Main Road. Though the day was spent in significant waiting, I will tell you that the day was not wasted at all. It was not a wasted day. I'm thankful for the reasons that I got to make all of those stops and run all of those errands, and even sitting in the car in the traffic. Thankful for the time. Thankful for the means to be able to do all of those things. But there was a lot of waiting. Sometimes it was hurry up and wait. Sometimes it was slow down a lot and wait. I don't know about you, but for me, waiting can cause blood pressure to increase, anxiety to start to creep up through the roof. Especially when we got things we need to do, right? Things that we need to get done, and we're having to wait on things that aren't my fault. Waiting can mean that you have to miss things that you wanted to do. Waiting can mean that you have to rush things that ought not to have been rushed because of the time spent in the waiting. Sometimes waiting drives us crazy with impatience. And surely I'm not the only one here who has asked a question or a similar question that, you know, simply didn't get answered in the way I wanted. Maybe the answer was no. Maybe the answer was yes. Maybe the answer was not yet. Those can typically and tend to be very difficult answers to take on. Maybe the answer didn't come in the timing that I liked, which means that the anxious waiting increases. Still waiting for the answer that I've been looking for, that I've been praying for. It just hasn't happened the way I wanted it to. Waiting, friends, can be very difficult. Especially now that we are in a world full of answers immediately at our fingertips. In an instant. In a world where we don't often have to wait very long at all. We certainly don't like to wait when we have to wait. There's a line in a book by one of my favorite writers that I thought was a bit appropriate for thinking about this. The line goes, between the wish and the thing, the world lies waiting. Between the wish and the thing, the world lies waiting. Well, anxious waiting was really the theme of the day for Israel when Amos was a prophet. We heard that prophecy this morning from Amos. Though Amos was not of the kingdom of Israel, Amos was of the kingdom of Judah, the southern kingdom. Though Amos prophesied to the northern kingdom, to Israel, during the reign of King, evil King Jeroboam II, which, by the way, was the same king that Jonah, you know, Jonah swallowed by the whale, same king that Jonah prophesied for. And Amos was led by the Lord to speak out against hypocrisy, idolatry, and the injustices of the time, and there were many. And namely, specifically, Amos was called to speak out against those who were wealthy and speak out against those who were mighty in status, the leaders of the time, that they would be humbled and actually make a turn to the Lord. To those in Israel who were wealthy and strong, those who were anxiously awaiting the day of the Lord, they just knew that the Lord was going to come and was going to fulfill promises made long ago that he was going to triumph in might and power. This is what they were anxiously awaiting for. They all thought that the day of the Lord was going to be a time for God's judgment on them, not on me. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. God's judgment on them, not on me. Couldn't possibly. That God's wrath will be thrown down upon everyone else but me. These are the people that Amos was called to prophesy to. These are the people that Amos was called to bring a hard word to. Will they listen? Amos' prophecies were quite hard to hear for those who thought they had it all figured out. He says, woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light. Woe to you. Why would you have this? It is darkness, not light. Amos speaks to the people with the warning that because you aren't ready, the day of the Lord is not going to come yet. You are not ready. That is why you have to wait. You aren't ready. And this is going to be a tragedy for you. The fact that you're not ready, the fact that you have to wait, is going to be a tragedy for you because you're not ready. You aren't ready because you don't truly believe the words and the works of God. You aren't ready because you have been making idols out of anything and everything. Not only that, but you've been trusting these idols. Some of them have been created by your own hands even. You've been trusting these idols that they would be able to provide you with a full pocketbook and a glamorous home. You aren't ready. This is why you wait. Amos continues. Consider this. It is as if a man has fled from a lion only to be met with a bear. Or went into a house to escape the bear, leaned his hand against the wall, safety now, and there's a serpent right there to bite him. For those who do not know the Lord, this warning is going from danger to danger, or it's going from danger to perceived safety, only to breathe a sigh of relief, very temporary, before realizing that a different danger is right there in front of me. Amos says the day of the Lord is darkness, not light. Gloom with no brightness at all. They're not ready. Now he goes on then to tell the Israelites that what they've been offering to God, this is why they're not ready. He goes on to tell them that what they've been offering to God is not what God wants. It's not what God asked for. The Lord speaks through Amos. He says, I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn days. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not even look upon them. Amos is exposing the religious hypocrisy of Israel's wealthy and of its leaders, which had been going on for years, for generations. And sure enough, they go to church. They go to the synagogue. They attend all the gatherings. They give. They even do the sacrifices. But all the while, they neglect the poor. They ignore the homeless. They refuse the sick. So Amos, through God, calls it all out. Calls it all out as a sham. You're not ready, he says. You're not ready. He exposes them that their worship is completely disconnected from the way that they treat people. Though, Amos does have a solution. He doesn't come in guns blazing without and calling out problems without also providing answers. He says, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. In Scripture, especially in the prophets, the themes of justice and righteousness and flowing streams are all very important. And because Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, we have the advantage of looking at all three of those through him, through the lenses that we get through Jesus Christ. Justice refers to the concrete actions that one can take to correct injustice, like Amos, for example. He lived in the southern kingdom of Judah, but he knew, he was convicted, that what the evil king Jeroboam II and his followers were doing must be spoken against. So he risked his own life in order to bring God's word to them so that even one Israelite might see the injustices that were being done to the poor, to the homeless, to the widows, to the orphans. And righteousness is the right relationship in places where there should be differences. The illustration here is the cross. Jesus Christ hung on the cross that we might be reconciled to God. The cross has a vertical element and a horizontal element. The vertical element is Jesus healing, making right the relationship between God and mankind, God and humanity. That's the vertical aspect. And then the horizontal aspect is Jesus making right the relationship between mankind to mankind, humanity to humanity. That is righteousness. Righteousness happens through Jesus Christ on the cross.
To both of these,
justice and righteousness, Amos says, are to flow like floodwaters through a dry riverbed and even permeating through God's people so that there will be no more dividing walls of hostility between us. Because of the great atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, we are redeemed with God and we are redeemed, reconciled with each other. We have been adopted as heirs into that covenant family of God with justice and righteousness, and that should in turn flow from us just like that river. It should flow from us just like that river. And that's a vision from Revelation, friends. John's vision in the Revelation says, "Then the angel showered me, excuse me, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit in each month. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." Friends, this is a glimpse of heaven. There is no darkness. And the only light that we need is the light that shines from the glory of the Almighty Himself. This doesn't have to wait until we get there. This doesn't have to wait until we get there. Amos gives good warning for the Israelites that we indeed can hear and heed today. There is a sense of urgency in our waiting, that we must be prepared in our waiting for that second coming of Christ to take place. We live in this time of tension between what has already taken place through Jesus Christ and what will be fully consummated in His return. In what theologians call that great theological term, inaugurated eschatology. But there is, friends, there is a tension in it. There's a tension that we live in right now. The already and the not yet. So we wait. We wait. Even when we don't want to wait, we wait. For the Christian, though, waiting is longing. And longing is looking to Jesus as the source of that river, the river of justice and righteousness. And while we wait, we long again to see the second coming of Christ. But we also long to encourage one another in the faith, to lift each other up when we fall, to give out of need and out of abundance, to come alongside one another, to disciple and to teach, to worship alongside one another, each bringing our own gifts, but also each bringing our own brokenness, and live together in that beautiful Christian life with Jesus Christ as the foundation and cornerstone, the source of forgiveness and redemption and reconciliation. And this is a life that we can live together right now as we eagerly wait for the Lord to finish His work. And wait with urgency. I'm going to finish with these words from St. Paul that we heard this morning from 1 Thessalonians. This was the generation of people, by the way, who were absolutely certain that the second coming of Christ was going to happen in their lifetime. That it was when they said the word soon, they were absolutely certain that soon meant now, like tomorrow. Maybe the next day. At the most, a couple of weeks. Well, here we are 2,000 years later, waiting for that return. No one knows when that is going to happen. These are the words that St. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Encourage one another with these words. Beloved, the beautiful sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, the sacrifice that should not be beautiful, but is, because it is our redemption, the sacrifice that caused blood and sweat and tears to run down the hard wood of that cross and to run down his body. That sacrificial love of Jesus Christ is the unity that brings us together today and every Sunday, and when we meet together during the week as well. When we come together, we worship. We strengthen each other. We love each other. We encourage one another, knowing that all the while, even when we don't want to, we must wait upon the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Love could remember no wrongs we had done, omniscient, all knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea with the bottom of shore, our sins they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Patience would wait as we constantly wrong. What father so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new evermore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. What riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood in the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. What love could remember no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he cast not their son, thrown into a sea with a bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.